Hey everyone, I'm Chris Hall and you're listening to the Downtime Podcast, where we take you inside the world of mountain biking. Before we get stuck into this week's episode, just a few things. Don't forget to head to downtimepodcast.com/subscribe, where you can subscribe to the podcast feed and also join our newsletter to keep up to date with everything that's going on. Please also follow us on social media. Just look for Downtime Podcast on Instagram or Facebook, or at Downtime Tweets on Twitter. And finally, if you like what we're doing, please take some time and leave us an iTunes review. It really, really helps for other people to find the podcast and to see what it's all about. Alrighty, this week we've got another great guest for you. It's Greg Williamson. We talked to Greg about how he got into riding, his time on Trek Factory Racing, Cube, and now his move on to Uno. We also talk a bit about his training weeks and his thoughts on post-race analysis. Alrighty, without further ado, here's Greg Williamson. Greg Williamson, welcome to the Downtime Podcast. Thanks for coming on, man.
Absolutely. Thank you, man. No, good to be here.
Good stuff. So let's start off, keep it simple. Tell us a little bit about your background and how you got into riding in the first place.
Yeah. Seems like ages ago now, but started in primary school. My mum actually took me to a cross-country race in Fort William. And it was cross-country racing I actually started doing, just because it's what most people did in my area. And then it wasn't until about high school, some of my friends, Ronan Taylor and people like that, picked up like Dirt Magazine and people like that, and kind of just seen what other people were doing on mountain bikes. And it's kind of the start of then, you can actually, like, we did love like dirt jumping and that kind of thing, you know, messing about the BMX park and that, but we never really knew about downhill as much. And then when we actually learned about all that, we were like, oh god, like, that looks amazing, like, we want to do that. And then like, all kicked off from there, you know, downhill in your hardtail to getting your first downhill bike, and then eventually racing the Scottish series. And yeah, it just snowballs, doesn't it? So
sure. Nah. Did you ever get into the cross-country racing side of things then, or did that kind of...
Yeah, absolutely. I actually loved it. It was all I knew at the time, but I loved cross-country. We had a Kent O'Gallagher, for example. He's doing downhill now, but he was a Cream cross-country rider as well, and others in the area. So it's pretty much the type of riding everyone did. So that was what we enjoyed doing. And then it wasn't until we kind of seen more about what other people were doing, we're like, oh wow, that downhill looks fun.
Sweet. So what bike were you on when you first started to throw yourself downhills then? Was it like pretty ropey a hardtail, or?
Yeah, pretty ropey. My dad got a secondhand hardtail from the local bike shop, and within a week I was jumping it off everything I could, and I managed to snap the head tube. And still got the headset sort of tube part in the bike shop as a reminder of it. I think it must have been cracked or something, because it's not pretty easy.
Was that the first face plant of your career?
Yeah, the first of many face plants in my career. But so we started from there, and then got a trusty giant Tarago frame, I think it was, another hardtail. Yep. And that was my do-it-all downhill, cross-country, dirt jump bike, you know. Cycled to school on it. Rode it pretty much every day growing up. So I've still got that hanging up, and it's got about, I think, 9 cracks in it or something.
Bloody hell, yeah. Good effort.
And it never snapped. So, yeah, that was a trusty steed, yeah.
Strong piece of kit. So you got into racing downhill then. Is there a pretty good scene for that in Scotland, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Growing up, definitely towards high school and that, it was booming. And yeah, there was a lot of boys getting into it quickly. And as soon as you started going to SDAs and nationals, and it was just like, you just couldn't wait for the weekend, you know. So it was a great scene. In today's world, it's still big, but don't get me wrong, with enduro and all different types of riding coming about now, it's opening a whole other ball game as well with that side of things, which is great to see so many people on the bike. But the scene just keeps growing. It's crazy.
So who do you ride with then? What are your kind of local group?
Local groups, definitely Kent and Gallagher, and our local tracks is on a hill with a mast on it, and it's called The Mast. Pretty simple, but yeah, mast riders, there's a bunch of them, and it's becoming more and more popular, as I say. So yeah, we've got a good group up there, and you can pretty much go riding any time during the week and someone's keen, so that's good. And then Ronan Taylor, Joe Connell's moved up here, bunch of guys. Yeah, it's a good scene. And
that's the Inverness area that you're
right. Inverness, I'm born and bred, so yeah, living here now, and I love it.
Cool. And how did that progress then, from like SDA rounds and British Nationals to taking on some of the bigger events and getting out to World Cups?
Good question. Yeah, it was a slow process. It felt like, actually, because what it's like when you really want to do it, but it wasn't really. I wasn't one of those kids who kind of was smashing it straight away, or that. It took me quite a while to kind of get my feet planted in World Cups and stuff like that. So it was quite a long kind of through the juniors and moving into elite and stuff like that was a kind of long process. I did have a few jabs at World Cups and stuff, but never really became that successful in it. And then it wasn't till I think my second year elite I really started to kind of, okay, right, this is how I need to go about it, started riding a lot quicker. But
what do you think you learned then? What were the kind of things that you suddenly went, right, okay, here's how you do well at, at a World Cup? What were the particular lessons that you had to learn in that time?
Definitely just being confident with yourself. Like, it's so easy just to go into a World Cup when you're a junior or even first year elite and just think, oh, everyone's riding so fast, I need to, try so hard just to keep up with them. But really it's just riding within your limit and going at your own pace and trusting that will work out. So, and when I figured that out and stopped crashing my brains out trying to ride over my head, then I started getting results. So that was quite a hard process to get your head around, but it was a fun one as well.
So when are your first kind of big signings, I guess, would be Trek Factory Racing? Absolutely. Right, how did that come to be?
Yeah, that was a crazy time. I signed with Nick Proof, kind of B team, the year before, and that was with a bunch of Irish lads, and that was great fun as well, don't get me wrong. Being a privateer is definitely, it's fun because you can just do what you want, there's no stress, no nothing. But definitely that, I think that was 2012, and I started getting top 20s and stuff like that, and then starting to get a bit of recognition, which was really cool. And then Martin Whiteley, who I'd spoken to in the past, now and then, just kind of, you would see if there was any opportunities on teams now and then, but definitely wasn't even crossing my mind giving him a shout even that year, to be like, oh, do you think, because that was when Aaron Gowan was absolutely destroying the field, with on Trek, and it would never even cross my mind to give them a shout. And he just called me out of the blue asking if I'd like to join with a kind of different new age team with Britt McDonald, George Brannigan, Nico Mullally, and I just couldn't believe it. it was the coolest thing ever. I just, that was a really good kind of time in my career where it just kind of turned a page and I could kind of just start kind of relaxing because I was working like three jobs at the time, and you know what it's like. It's just it's maybe not the best way for an athlete to go into things when they aren't completely focused on stuff. But when I got that call, it was just like, okay, right, like let's do this. Like let's see where how far we can take this.
Sweet. And what were the best things about moving from a you know privateer role to working with a pro team like that?
Definitely, first things first, getting a mechanic. Because although I'd like to say I could do a few things on my bike, I'm definitely not the best person to be on the tools. but you basically have, and especially going from a privateer deal to a team Martin Whiteley runs. If anyone who's worked with Martin before knows, he's pretty dialed. He is kind of no stone he leaves unturned. He just kind of he gets everything dialed, from the staff to the mechanics, riders, flights, travel, everything. You know is completely sorted, and you've got your famous blue sheet when you show up to the event with everything where when you've got to be. So that's that was definitely a bit eye opening as well, because yeah, don't be late for stuff like that, and you know it's a proper job. So yeah, that was a pretty cool time learning how those boys do it.
Yeah, I bet. And then moving on to Cube, and mm-hmm. then running into the 2016 season, the results kind of started to come, right? A couple of sixth places in 2016.
Absolutely. Well, right before 2016, that kind of 2015 year was a bit of a nightmare. Just, you know, it goes sometimes. It was a tough year with crashes, and it didn't seem to be really, you know, taking it to that next step. We kind of plateaued, so it was a tough time. But when that opportunity with Cube came along, that was kind of refreshing, because it was something completely different. They were completely new to it, and it was really cool. It's something I never done, really, kind of taking a bike and then trying to get it ready for World Cups and stuff like that, like kind of from, not from scratch, but definitely had a big part in how we got that bike ready for World Cups. So that was another big learning year, and definitely something I kind of was pretty proud of, to kind of get that bike up to race speed and then get results on it in 2016.
Yeah, so what kind of state was that bike in then when you guys started working with Cube? Was it like a prototype and still a lot of work to do, or was it kind of a chassis that was ready to go and it just needed setting up?
Definitely lean more towards the chassis, just get it ready to go. It wasn't complete rebuild, you know, sort of thing. They had done a lot of work on it, but definitely. So, well, Michael, the engineer there, he was great fun to work with. Definitely just trying to share ideas and get that across, and then kind of testing, showing them how it was quicker and stuff like that. And if we could, I was always on the phone to him to kind of change stuff, which was quite fun. And yeah, it's good. But
cool. Can you talk about some of the things that you did change on that bike? Like, what were the major things that you tweaked and enabled you to get more speed out of the bike?
It wasn't massive things. Definitely just working on the angles. Angles is so important. Just the head angles and the suspension curve. With the World Cup tracks, they're so fast and aggressive, and you've got so many harsh compressions as well. You just need a bike that can take those hits. So definitely working on the suspension curve and, you know, slackening the head angle. Simple stuff like that, really. It wasn't nothing massive, but just getting the right balance was pretty important. So that was a good kind of learning curve for me as well. With Trek, a lot of the stuff, they've got so many engineers and so much testing done on the bike before. We didn't really have to do too much, so yeah, that was cool. I enjoyed that.
Cool. Let's talk a little bit about 2017 season then. So it started off pretty well. You had a first place at the American Pro GRT at Windrock and beat Nico on his own track. How did that feel?
It felt good, but it was a good time. I was rearing for 2017. I had a great preseason, worked super hard, and fair play to Nico. He, just to give him credit as well, what he'd been doing, not only setting up those races beforehand, because he was organizing the whole thing as well as in his own bike park, which he'd been building all winter. So credit to him. Like, he's no slouch. He was probably exactly. tired from all the work he was doing before. So I'm not going to discredit claim that win too much. But, that place is awesome. I had a great preseason and had a great start to the World Cups as well. But then just kind of same sort of deal as 2015, actually. Had a few bad crashes, a few concussions, and it just kind of, it really does set you back. And, you don't really realize till you're halfway through the year and you're like, gosh, like, we really need to kind of turn this around. And, but it's hard. It's racing.
Yeah, I remember seeing you at Fort William, and you looked pretty beat up. You had a pretty rough weekend there, right?
Probably, yeah. I normally have the best kind of time at Fort William, and that weekend was horrible. I somehow managed to snap my crank on one of the roughest sections and got away with it. Thankfully, I was pretty beat up, but I got away with it. And then going up for my race run, like, I think I only made it three turns in and then blew up again. And it was just like a massive crash and out of nowhere. The place you least imagined to crash. So I was just kind of like, oh, what? Like, why is this happening to me? Like, kind of weekends.
Yeah, man. How do you recover from that? Because you've got, like, literally hopping in vans and heading straight down to Leagang to race again the next weekend. Like, what are you going through in those 5 or 6 days to get yourself ready to go again?
What are you going through? I went straight home. I know you stayed for dinner. I went straight home. I was in the physio the next day at home in Inverness. And then before you know it, you're on a plane to Leagang. Going through that whole kind of get the body ready for the, you know, warm ups and track walk, and you're straight back into it again. So you really, that's where it kind of, you've got a decent damage control, and it's never great when you've hit your head. So yeah, like, it sucks when it's like that.
For sure.
That's how the champions kind of are crowned, is dealing with all those kind of things and cracking on.
Yeah, it's very true. But you started to, you know, make a recovery towards the back end of the season. 12th place at Val d'Isol. I mean, that's a pretty pretty epic place to put in a good result.
Yeah,
right?
Definitely. I love Val d'Isol. It's great. It's so natural and rocky. And definitely the way I see our sport, the best way our sport heading tracks like that. I'm not gonna say those other tracks are bad, but they definitely, I'm not so much of a fan of the bike parky stuff, but I do like that natural stuff, and definitely where your fitness can play into it as well. When you get those real rough fatiguing tracks, it's pretty sweet when you're exhausted after a run and you've done a good one.
Yeah, what do you think it takes then to get a good result at Val d'Isol? Because it's rough, it's steep, it's very natural, lots of kind of line choice maybe compared to some of the trails.
Yeah, absolutely.
As well.
You've got to think the whole way down there, and then when you start doing full runs, it's a whole different ballgame. You're like, you're really pushing towards the end just to you know, tighten your grip on the bars and keep going fast. It's cool. I love it.
So coming into 2018 then, some exciting news that I heard the other day is that you're going to be on Uno bikes.
That's right, yeah. So that's been a really exciting deal, and yeah, we haven't released too much about it yet as we're still finalizing a few things, but that's been such a cool process as well. Something I'm super excited about. So yeah, I can't wait to announce more on it soon, but yeah, for now I'm just riding, testing, training as much as we can, as is everyone else. But yeah, looking forward to the season ahead.
Yeah, sweet. How did you first when did you first get to try the bike?
First got to try the bike towards the end of 2017. I went out to Barcelona and met Cesar, and we did a few days on the bike, and we did a test and stuff like that. And yeah, no, that was an awesome experience. I gelled really well with the bike straight away, which was cool. And then I was really surprised at how different it was to the bike I was on before. And it was super cool to see the shop there and everything. Actually, it's a spectacle in itself. Actually, Sarah's shop there. They've got the kind of all the designers on the top floor, and then it's got three floors, works its way down to the whole like kind of bike rolling out the shop deal. So everything's made in house, and it's really cool. But
So they actually have a shop, like a shop front, that you can go and have a look at the bikes and stuff.
Not sure they have that just yet, but just the sort of manufacturer of the bike is all kind of done right in house, and I think you might have to have an invite or something to get there, or a pass. But the shop itself is amazing. Yeah.
Cool. And I guess with all those, you know, in-house capabilities, if you guys want to change stuff or try stuff with the bike, then it's pretty easy to get things made and out there for trying.
Absolutely. Super easy. Yeah. There's no wait on sending it off to Taiwan or anything like that. They literally can, I think, I forgot how many it was. It was something like, they can basically build bikes super quickly there. But it's definitely something unique, and you can actually notice the difference in riding the bike. It feels a bit different, and very interesting.
Cool. And what's next then? Have you got team camps coming up, or how's that all planned out?
Yeah, we've got some stuff planned, and some more testing, but more of that should come out soon when we get to release all our final sponsors and stuff, which again I'm really excited about. We've got some great supporters and sponsors lined up, so yeah, I can't wait just to announce it all, because yeah, everyone's asking, and it's kind of hard when a lot of stuff still isn't finalized. But yeah,
I bet. Does it make it tricky for you, like going out and riding? Do you have to be careful, like where you ride and that?
Yeah, certainly for a bit, but Cesar is super cool with it. He's just do your thing. You can't help it. Just crack on. And at the end of the day, we need to ride our bikes, don't we? So that's good.
Cool. And is it, you're on the team with Taylor Vernon, is that right?
Yep. Yeah. Taylor's going to be riding alongside us, and he's great. We spent a bit of time out in Spain earlier this year, and he's a great kid. He's a good head on his shoulders, and we'll hopefully get some strong results this year.
Nice one. And how's the training going? Are you feeling good?
Yeah, great. Minor setback on Saturday there. I had a little spill and got some stitches in my leg, but we'll wait for that to settle down a bit and we'll carry on. But it's been great. Definitely experience has kind of matured me a bit, and I know kind of when to or how to lay my winters out a bit better now. So that's hopefully going to play into my strengths this year. And yeah.
Sweet. So what does a typical week look like at the moment then, as you're getting kind of a bit closer to the start of the race season? Like, what's the sort of percentage split of the different types of work that you're doing in a typical training week?
Yeah, well, yeah, my coach does like to switch things up a lot. So no week is really the same, but we simply just a good mix of everything, a good balance of everything, you know. In the gym 3 times a week, on the road bike about 2x a week. Unfortunately on the rower a lot. The rower is killing me a bit.
So is that for the more intense stuff, the rowing, or?
Yeah, intense stuff, and even morning warm ups and stuff like that. A bit of that, and even the aerobic side of things. It's amazing how versatile a rower can be. I never actually realized, but definitely this year it's been a bit of an eye opener on how useful it is, because you think, you know, like rowing, it's not really gonna swap over too much to riding a bike, but it's actually pretty amazing how much it helps. So yeah, that's been cool. I actually got a pretty cool hookup from Concept 2, and they actually sent us a rower out in a ski erg, so that's been actually super cool to have just at home, so I don't have to go to the gym, just to do a little rower session like that. So that's been really cool, just to have that you know, right here. So
Yeah, cool, nice one. So feeling strong and ready to take on another season then?
Absolutely, yeah, I can't wait. I know these winters are too long, especially when it's snowing outside.
Yeah, for sure. Is there a particular race that like stands out in your head, one that you're more excited about than the others?
Definitely a bit of redemption at Fort William would be great. Croatia, I love when there's new tracks on the venue, so looking forward to that one. Val d'Isol, of course. Bresse, I'm not sure what that would be like. That could be interesting. Definitely with the, I believe it's a different venue to what we raced a couple of years ago.
Yeah, so I hear, yeah, a little bit different at least.
So that could be interesting. And then French World Cups are always amazing, you know. The fans are crazy and the tracks are always good. So, yeah. And of course, National Champs is at home this year.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, two times British champion now in elites, right?
Yeah.
What's going on? Is it a speciality? Have you sussed it out?
Yeah, people said that. Speciality. Specialist. that's pretty funny. But, yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure what it was that I somehow turned it on for those. But, that'll definitely. I'm just looking forward to the drive home after it. Like, it's gonna be. I think we got back at 3 a.m. the last 2 times, so I think I might be back before it's dark this year.
Awesome. So, does it mean something to you? Do you like having that British champ sleeve on your jersey?
Oh, totally. No, I wear that with pride. You know, like, it's so cool having the sleeve, and like to see your British champ of like one of the most competitive nations, you know, alongside others, that's pretty cool. So I mean, Danny Hart's no slouch, and you've got the likes of, you know, Charlie Hatton and stuff like that coming through. It's cool to be amongst them
for sure. Yeah, there's some super fast riders from the UK, like, no doubt.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about some of your past races then. What's been your most memorable race and why? What stands out in your head?
definitely my first national champs was, that was like a, I didn't believe it at first. I was like, oh, this is so cool.
So what venue was that?
That was Revolution Bike Park. And,
Okay.
And it was somewhere I'd never been before either. So I was just like, oh, here we go, national champs. Like, it seems like everyone had been training there all winter as well. I was like, oh, here we go. Like, it's a bit against me here, but we'll give it a good crack, you know. And then I was close in seeding, and then I was like, you know what? Like, said to my mechanic before we went, I was like, I've got this, I think. Like, so yeah, that was cool. And definitely that one was a big kind of turning point. And then my first top 10 on Trek was that was kind of like, okay, like, again, like, we're in this, like, let's keep the ball rolling, see how far we can take it.
Was that Fort William?
I believe it was, it was Fort William. No, yeah, it was Fort William. I was just thinking, I came close in the year before in Hafjell in Norway, but no, yeah, it was. Mm-hmm.
Does Fort William feel special anyway, because it's like the home race, being not just a British rider, or not just a British rider, but a Scottish rider?
Yeah. To be honest, it doesn't faze me too much, but or it doesn't change too much, should I say. But no, definitely. Being like from the Highlands and stuff, it's definitely does add like a little extra. And I do see like friends I went to school with and family and that here that come out. So that's definitely a factor, you know?
Yeah. And the crowds are pretty intense as well, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny. One of my friends last year, one of the masked riders actually was hanging over the side of the tape in the race track, you know, like, like, settle down, boys.
Nice. Yeah. It does get pretty crazy up there. I like it.
Yeah. Yeah. The boys, cool. To cheer on the locals and British riders.
Yeah. What about your worst race? Is there one that you remember, and what did you learn and take away from it?
Worst race. Well, that's a tough one actually, because yeah, I'd never look at them as like, God, that was my worst race. Like, but definitely always a big learning curve, you know, like I can always take something away from weekend. And that's what I love about racing so much. There's always something you never did just right, or nothing's perfect, you know. So going back to that one at Fort William, that was a tough weekend, just dealing with so many harsh crashes. And then even in my final race run, trying to get down the hill after having the big crash up top, going through the bogs, and that was just like, oh, just get me off this hill, you know, like I just want to get out of here and not even like speak to anyone after that one. So
yeah, man, it's a long way down from three corners in with the world watching as well.
Exactly. So I definitely don't want to do anything like that again. And yeah, just I'm still looking for that first podium, so that's all I really want to do just now, is just get up there.
So even if you've had a good result, like a result that you're happy with, do you still kind of go through that like critical analysis post-race to look at, oh, okay, how could I have done that better?
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely. Maybe not straight away. Like, I'll enjoy it and, you know, kind of soak it up, because, yeah, it's like a bit, it's nothing better than having a good result. But then definitely, almost as soon as I'm kind of leaving the venue, it's like, okay, how could I have done that better? Or, you know, you kind of just evaluate the whole kind of weekend, or
cool,
just so you can keep track of how you did well as well. Like, you always want to get straight into that kind of mindset. So yeah, it's good.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cool. We're getting close to the end of our time today, but we've got a few questions that we've asked to most of our guests. So we'll just hit those three quickly. Okay. The first one is, if you had or if our listeners had £100 to spend to improve their performance or their fun on a bike, what would you recommend they spend it on?
Oof, tough question. That is a tough one. £100. Well, I did the adrenaline uplift at Innaleven at the weekend. That was definitely a good, like, good block of money there. So what's that? Like £35. So definitely
something like that. Yeah,
so definitely get on the uplift.
Yeah.
Get yourself a coffee at Number One Cafe in Innaleven.
For sure. Best place in town.
And then what else? Hit Macca's afterwards. I don't know.
Living the dream. How was the new uplift system then? It more efficient than the old bus version, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It was unbelievable. I think we banged out 12 runs or something. And yeah, it was so good. That you could miss a bus if you wanted, you know? Like me and Reese actually sat out and just had lunch one run, and like you didn't even have to worry about not getting the next one because you know they were just coming straight back around again. Yeah,
awesome. It runs through lunch as well now, because it used to stop, didn't it, for a bit?
That's right. Or there used to be big breaks between, but none of that now, and we could literally just focus on what track we're going to ride next, or not have to worry about a thing. Just, you know, get plenty bike time in, which is what we all want. So, yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, I'll have to get back up there soon. Sounds good. Mm-hmm. Cool. Right. Now, the second of the questions is, if you could wind back the clock and have a chat with your 16-year-old self, what advice would you give him?
Stay on your bloody bike.
Too much crashing, right?
Yeah, stop getting so excited. Yeah.
Okay. And then the last one is, if you could pick any rider, either past or present, to have a coaching session from, who would it be and what would you want to learn and why?
Probably. That's another good question. I like that one. Sam Hill, when he was absolutely destroying everyone in, I think it was 2006, 2007 or something like that. That was just like amazing to watch. So yeah.
And is there a particular element? Is there a particular element of his riding that you would want to kind of pick his brains on, or is it like just in general?
Yeah. Well, even to this day, it's amazing like how well he rides flat pedals and stuff like that. Like, I don't think I've seen many guys who can ride flat pedals like him. And do it as efficiently. So that, as well as, you know, his kind of skill, and I love like his line choice and stuff like that. So definitely Sam Hill for kind of a race head, kind of someone to kind of follow on a weekend. That would be like a good guy to pick, I think.
Sure. And who do you like following out of the current pack of riders then? You obviously ridden with quite a few of the guys.
I love following Blanky. Sam's got the funkiest style. I love watching Blanky and stuff. So I'd follow Sam because it's just fun.
Awesome. Yeah, he has got a great style on a bike. It's good to watch.
Yeah.
Cool. Good stuff. Right. Well, if people want to find out a bit more and keep in touch with you, where can they find you on social media?
You can follow me on Instagram at GregWilliamson1, and then Facebook. You'll pretty much get me on them.
Sweet. Good stuff. Well, we wish you the best of luck for the season, and super excited to see the team launch when that's all unveiled. And yeah, hopefully see you on a podium somewhere at a World Cup as well.
Awesome. Sounds good. Thank you very much, Chris.
Nice one. Thanks, man.
Cheers.
Alrighty, that's it for this episode. If you enjoyed it, head over to iTunes and leave us a review. Don't forget to subscribe over on our website and follow us on social media. Until next time, get out and ride.